Hold it up.
Don't be.
Hold it up.
Don't be tripped. Don't be thirsty.
Hold it up. Drinking in the club, hold it up. Don't be thirsty.
Don't be thirsty.
Showing her why she twerking. Drinking in the club, hold it up. Don't be thirsty.
Don't be thirsty.
Hold it up.
Yeah. I wake up, my cake up, this bad bitch. My breakfast, I do what I wanna do. You wait till I break up to tell me you want some, and then when I want some, you flavor. You be texting my phone, liking my pics, all of my news, talking about how you love creeping, Instagramming and stuff, tweeting, riding, trying to give me a lick.
Yeah.
I've been on some shit, write me a hit. Gotta get to this money's what I gotta do.
Yo, what's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariqa Lead Radio Show. It's Wednesday, and you know how I get down. Ready to chop up some good game with the family. Today's show, by the way, is brought to you by Taste of Black Houston. That's where they take a tour bus in Houston and take all of the good people to different eateries around the Houston area. They're getting one popping this weekend, April 9th. So go to visitblackhouston.com for more information about that. And the phone number, family, is 818-850-5404. That is the number to call in and chop up game with me, Mr. Tariqa Lee. But what we're going to do right now, family, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. And when we get right back, we're going to take some calls and chop up some game right here on Tariqa Lee Radio. Don't go nowhere, family.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
What's up, family? You've heard me talk about Ezekiel J. Walker's book, Black As I Want to Be, for the last couple of weeks. Well, actually, he's going to be in the SoCal area at the Shades of Africa bookstore in Long Beach on April 14th at 7:30 p.m. He's going to be screening his documentary film, The Madea Factory, and he's going to sign copies of his new book, Black As I Want to Be. So if you're in the area, go check him out. And again, that's April 14th, 7:30, Shades of Africa Bookstore in Long Beach. For more information, go to ZekeWrites.com. That's ZekeWrites.com. Listen up, family. If you are a rapper, a singer, a music producer, or a label owner, then you should already know about LegendaryMix.com. That's your one stop for professional-grade online mixing and mastering. Take advantage of their low-cost, high-quality mixdowns and professional mastering right now. Clients rate them as the number one online mixing and mastering service on the net. With over 13 years of experience, you can expect top quality and a quick turnaround time. Visit Legendary Mix online today at LegendaryMix.com or call or text them at 347-565-5892 or email them at LegendaryMix1@gmail.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
What's going on, family? Join me, Tariq Nasheed, live in Los Angeles for the first annual Plantation Celebration, a.k.a. the Coon Train Awards. It's going to be happening Saturday, April 9th at 7 p.m. at the Acme Comedy Theater on La Brea in Hollywood. Special celebrity guest judges will be on deck, and we're going to have a very special VIP meet and greet after the main event. Now, seating is limited for the Coon Train Awards, so you want to get your tickets early. Go to www.plantationcelebration.com. That's plantationcelebration.com.
Finally, the lecture tour everyone has been waiting for. Join New York Times best-selling author and critically acclaimed producer of the Hidden Colors film series, Tariq Nasheed, live on the More Us Tour, coming to Miami on Saturday, April 23rd at the Betty T. Ferguson Recreational Complex. Coming to New York City on Monday, April 25th at the Merkin Concert Hall. Coming to Dallas Friday, April 29th at the Hall of State Margaret in Al Hill Auditorium. Coming to Houston on Saturday, April 30th at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. This is one lecture tour you don't want to miss. For tickets, go to www.tariqlive.com. That's www.tariqlive.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered!
What's up, family? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I'm ready to chop up some good game. The phone number is 818-850-5404. Man, had a very productive day. I was with my man Boyce Watkins, who's going to be in Hidden Colors 4. In Hidden Colors 4, we're looking at a May release. Mid to late May is when we're looking at releasing this film. So we're going to have Dr. Boyce in it. He's spitting some hot fire. So I was with Boyce. He's out here in Los Angeles. I was with Dr. Boyce, and I was with Dame Dash from the Rockefeller Record Empire. And we were chopping it up. We had a great conversation. We were streaming live on Facebook. Facebook has a feature where you can stream live. So we're streaming live on that. And we're probably going to do something like that for the More Us app that we're working on now. And people, we still need your support for the More Us app. That's going to be the app that's centered around melanoid empowerment. And you can support that at morus.com. Go to morus.com, and that page will lead you to the Indiegogo page so people can still support that, because we still need you to help make this thing happen and pop off the way it needs to pop off. But people actually, they love the vibe that we had going today with me, Dame, and Boyce Watkins. We're just chopping up game, man. Just sitting in a room, chopping it up. We were over at Dame's spot. That was Dame's office we were at earlier. And just having some grown man money talk, man. And Dame is a real smart dude, man. Real good brother, man. Chopping up some real fly shit. And we're probably going to do more of that. And a lot of folks are like, what's up with Alexia? And we were discussing that. So we might possibly try to put something together where me, Dame, and Dr. Boyce all do a big lecture together somewhere. That would be hot fire, because those two brothers are a beast with the mouthpieces and the economic game. So that's something that we would love to get popping. And don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. All right, HiddenColorsFilm.com. That's where you can get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3 if you don't have it already. Let's see who's on the phone. A lot of folks are calling. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's going on, Tariq? This is Xavier calling out of New York City.
Xavier from New York. How you doing, Zave?
Hey, man. I'm chilling, chilling. Just got a quick question for you right fast about white supremacy.
Go ahead, family.
All right, so short and sweet, but I'll give you my life story. Me and my girl like to travel a lot around the world. And every time we go someplace, I never mentioned this before, where people will come up to us and say, hey, you know, make small talk, but then in the gist of it, they get straight to, so what do you guys do back home? Now, I'm not no baller or nothing like that, so I want to know, how do you answer that type of question when you're on vacation? Because I know it happens to you. And the second thing I wanted to know is, what do you say to the people who always say, oh, well, you made it out, you got a good job, you travel around the world, why can't other black people do what you do? Nothing stopped you. So what do you say to those?
Well, just what I say, first, let me answer the first question. When somebody asks me, and they ask me all the time, especially when I'm riding first class, so what do? I just say something real vague. Well, I do real estate, you know, just so I don't have to go into it. It's a very dismissive answer, because I don't feel like, you know, checking nobody or just answering anything. So I just say I do real estate. I used to tell people, you know, I'm an author, I'm a director. Oh, what do you direct? Well, I do documentary films about black history. Oh, you know, it's that type of shit. So yeah. Just give them something real vague. You do real estate, landscaping, tell them you're a Black Lives Matter activists. Just tell them anything. You don't tell them you don't tell them all your business, because that's white supremacists. They gotcha. Love getting in a nigga's business. That's their job.
Absolutely.
They have to get in your business. It's like it'll fuck with their mind if they don't get into your business and find out who you are, what are you doing there, so they can get some intel. They're very good on getting information. Now, the second thing, when people say, well, you made it out, how come other black folks couldn't do it? Just explain that, look, we live in a system that's called white supremacy, which is a prison system. And in that prison system, certain black people are allowed to get certain privileges. Certain black people are allowed to eat a little better in the prison system. Certain black people are allowed to do certain things, but the numbers are always controlled. So that's why when you go on vacation, so when you and I go on vacation, that's why we only see one or two other black people. It's very rare that we see a large number of black people, especially from America, on vacation. So the game is designed to let one or two in the door. But as our brother Claude Anderson says, when it gets to around six black people, the white supremacists, they go on alert. Then they have to do something about that system. They don't mind one or two Negroes doing something. And that's the trick bag, because a lot of those one or two Negroes, they get allowed, and the key word is allowed. They get allowed, and even me, I get allowed to do certain things. They can shut my shit down. I'm not no egotistical nigga. I'm in the system of white supremacy. When the white supremacists are ready to shut me down, they can. They can pull out somebody that I got in a fight with back in 1982, or some hood rat I laid up with in 1995. They got all types of ways to break you down and just throw your shit down, because we live in a system of white supremacy, so I expect that. But when it comes to a lot of us doing something fly, that's when they'll shut it down. So don't let nobody run that, how come you did it and everybody else can't do it. We still in prison. Got it?
Absolutely. Got it, man. Thanks, man. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. That's what, you know, I've been thinking about this. I want to probably put together a white supremacy class, because Dr. Welsing was talking about this. Y'all know she's my idol. I loved her. God rest her soul. Dr. Welsing was talking about, we need to teach white supremacy. We need to teach it. It should be like a class, a college course that we need to teach. We need to teach white supremacy, because the white supremacists, they teach their version of white supremacy. We need to teach black folks how to understand it. You're getting taught white supremacy 24 hours a day. They never let up teaching white supremacy. You understand? A brother sent me a book, a brother named Kwameek Smothers. That's a hell of a name, Kwameek. You got your name from that book I read this weekend on my Ustream show. But this brother was telling me, he said, hey, Tariq, my son brought this book home. It has a ton of whitewashing in it. Now, this is how they're doing our kids. And he's from Florida. They're from Kissimmee, Florida. So they got a history book for children. Hold on, let me. They got some shit talking about slavery. They were talking about in this book, and I'm going to show some pictures on Instagram when I'm done with the show. It says, Equiano found himself enslaved. He already knew something about slave life. Slavery had already existed in Africa and other parts of the world for thousands of years. Even Equiano's father owned slaves. So right there, they're trying to make it seem like, well, Africans were just as fucked up as us white supremacists for owning slaves. Look, the shit that was happening in Africa wasn't nowhere near close to the white supremacists and the shit they were doing. Wasn't nowhere near close. Don't let them tell that lie. And they, in this book, this is a kid's book, and they keep repeating that theme. There's another part of the book, and I'm going to show y'all the book. I'm looking at the actual book. This is not no conjecture. I'm reading word for word about what this book is talking about. There's another part of the book where it says, coming to America shows some African slaves. Slaves were captured by fellow Africans and sold to European slavers. Okay. That's some more bullshit. The Africans who participated in the slave trade were forced into it. It was like, okay, either you help us or we're going to enslave you. They were forced into it. Don't let these white supremacists run that Africans enslaved their fellow. And look at the words they use trying to be deceptive. They didn't imprison, because that's really what it was. They didn't imprison their so-called fellow Africans. There were warring tribes. they had warring tribes, so they captured people from different nations and held them as prisoners of war. And then the Europeans came and they said, okay, look, you can take our prisoners of war. So that's not the same thing as enslaving somebody and then making their children slaves and raping their damn wives. They're going after our children early. That's why Hidden Colors 4, man, we're going for the jugular. Somebody in the chat room said that's child abuse. That is child abuse. And I'm going to show y'all this bullshit. That's why we got to go hard in the paint. What's the name of the book? I don't see the name of the book. It's a school book. It's a textbook. And I'm going to show the page. It's some kind of textbook at school. He's showing me the exact pages. So the white supremacists, they really try to downplay their role in slavery. They always try to minimize it. Well, everybody was doing it. Africans did it too. No, what you were doing wasn't nowhere near close to what was happening in Africa. Don't let them tell that lie. And also, they didn't share none of the proceeds and the money and the wealth built from slave labor with the Africans. So I don't know why they keep trying to bring up Africans, because I'm following the money. That's what we got to do. We got to start following the cash, the money, the wealth. They didn't share that with a goddamn thing. That's what I'm looking at. So don't come tell me about some other African, because you threw his ass in the boat with me when you were done. So we're both looking at you for that damn check. But have them point out some African so-called slavery before the European conquest and even the Arab conquest. Watch the lies. Let me get another call or two. What's up? Who's calling?
This is Robin from Arkansas.
Hey, Robin from Arkansas. How are you, love?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Robin, have you called before? Because you sound familiar.
I have called before, actually.
I'm trying to remember. What was your situation? Because I remember your voice. What happened?
I was in school, and I was asking you about, it was something about a paper, or it was something related to a paper that I was writing, and so I was asking you some questions related to that situation.
Okay. So what's going on with you, Robin?
Nothing. I wanted to, I'm calling about something you mentioned earlier. You were talking about having a class on white supremacy and having people understand that. And I'm having a current issue right now dealing with, like, family members and trying to pull them out of that slavery mentality, I guess you could say. And, you know, once I started watching Hidden Colors, and, you know, me and my dad, we just clicked and we got it. Yeah. I mean, because I've been watching this stuff. I mean, I've been watching it go on ever since I was little. I mean, I grew up in a town where black people couldn't swim in the pool. So I just I knew the game. It was easy for me to pick up and to just to understand. But as I try to get others to kind of understand it, it seems kind of difficult.
Right.
Like, I mean, they understand it and it clicks for them for 1 minute, but it's like they're scared to take that leap and trust it.
Look, that makes any sense. I know exactly what you mean. And you got to look at it like this, sister. Look, we are on a major plantation. Look at it like that. Look at it like we're on a plantation and you're trying to get free off that plantation. Now, when you're trying to get free off that plantation and you're looking around to see who's going to go with you, you want to get the people who's already about it. Because if you start trying to convince niggas to go with you and they're kind of giving you a pushback, what's going to happen is you're going to end up sabotaging yourself, because they're going to thwart your efforts. Because if they want to stay, niggas need company and they need somebody to stay with them, and they need somebody right there in the bottom of that barrel with them. So they're going to sabotage and snitch and tell on you and fuck up your efforts of building and progressing. That's why whenever you get to certain Negroes talking about black empowerment, melanoid empowerment, building something, they will start trying to throw salt in your ideas. That's why it's good to keep a lot of your ideas to yourself or get around people who could nurture your ideas. That's why I was mentioning earlier, I was around some positive brothers earlier today who are all about business and entrepreneurship. So that's why when we click, the light bulbs just start going off every time we get around each other. We give each other good ideas and we play off of each other and build off of each other. The same thing happens in the opposite. When you get around slave plantation niggas who are scared to do anything and just look for a white daddy or a white mama to lay up under, they will drain your energy. Then all of a sudden you start buck dancing and getting on the coon train. So you want to get away from that, even if it's family. Your dad got it right. Sometimes it's lonely being a conscious person. Deal with that loneliness until you find other people that you can build with. But at this point, we shouldn't be trying to... What the fuck is that? Was that... Oh, hold on 1 second. I'm hearing sounds. But at that point, at this point... Hold on. At this point, we can't be out here trying to convert cats. Sorry about that. We can't be out here trying to convert people no more. It's too late in the day. We need people who are locked and loaded, ready to go with that information. You feel me?
Right.
All right, Robin.
Okay.
Thank you so
much.
Robin, let me ask you again. What you look like? Because I know the people in the chat room want to know. What you look like? You probably told me before. What you look like?
I'm on your Facebook page. Now, come on. You should know me by now. No, I don't know. I try to call in sometimes, and I probably don't get through it enough. But you can look me up. My name is Robin Riley.
Robin Riley, that's her
name. I'm single, so I'm putting that out there on the radio.
Uh-oh. Robin Riley is something. We're going to look you up. Now, what you look like, Robin? I mean, how old are you? That's what I meant to ask. How old are you?
Uh-oh. I'm 27.
27. And is that a real 27, or is that that's your club?
Yeah, no, it's a real 27.
Are you really 35?
No, I'm really 27, really, 1988.
Okay, that ain't your club age. Now, how'd I spell your last name, Robin?
Wiley, W-I-L-E-Y, R-O-B-Y-N.
Spell the last name again.
W-I-L-E-Y.
All right, people are looking you up now, Robin Wiley, Little Rock. Okay, I remember you. Okay, I remember you, Robin, with the natural, beautiful hair. That's your real hair, your natural hair?
No, I wish I could say I'm going to keep it honest.
There you go.
It's not.
Oh, Robin's a nice and thick and chocolate. Oh, yeah, she looked like she could make her some weed brownies or some shit. Nice and natural. There you go. Y'all better start campaigning for Robin, fellas. All right, thank you for the call, dear.
Thank you.
Right. Robin is a cute little thing, a little herbal tea. Y'all better go holla at her, fellas. No dustiness. No dustiness, fellas. Don't be dusty with the game. Now, today's theme is about black people collectively peeping game. It's very important for us. We got to learn how to collectively peep when people are running game on us as a group. Because a lot of times people come around us with straight up fuckery, and too many of us fall for it, and we got to collectively peep game. What the hell is that? I hate when I have windows up somewhere and there's clicks and bleeps and I don't know where they're coming from. I'm gonna find out where it is in a minute. Hold on. I don't know where that shit is coming from, but it's annoying. But like I'm saying, man, we gotta understand how to peep game when other groups are trying to run that okie doke on us. We're very bad at peeping game from other groups. We're very bad at doing that. Now, I was looking at the Black Girls Rock show yesterday. I was checking out the show. It was a good show. The show was good. Somebody said delete them porn links. Hilarious. But I'm looking at the Black Girls Rock show. It was a good show. The show was good. Everything was cool. Then they brought Hillary Clinton's ass up there. Hold on. Somebody's in the chat room trolling. Hold on. Sorry about that, guys. Had to ban somebody out of the chat room. But the show was okay until they brought Hillary Clinton out there. They brought Hillary Clinton out there with her fuckery, her bullshit, her jive, trying to pander for them black votes. And you can see some of the women in the audience are kind of looking side-eye. You know, people are being polite, but you could see on people's faces they knew this was a crock of bullshit. And we got to stop allowing fuckery to come among us. We got to stop letting people pander to us, use us for their agenda, and toss us to the curb. And we're just happy that they're there. We got to cut that out. We got to collectively peep game. Just with Hillary Clinton, she's not a friend of the black community. She's coming around Black Girls Rock and getting all of the mothers of slain black people, which is another hustle, because it was her and Bill's policies that created the environment that black people can get slain by these race soldiers with impunity. And what's sad is that some of the parents of these slain youths are collectively eating this shit. They're eating it up. Now, the only person who ain't really going for the okey-doke is Tamir Rice's mother, Samaria, and I'm very proud of her. And she ain't going for it because I put her up on game a long time ago. I personally talked to her when all this shit went down and let her know what was going to go down and not to fall for it. So she already got that game. That's why it's important for us to really lace folks with that game early so the okey-doke don't happen. But Hillary's going around with Trayvon Martin's mother. Hillary's going around with Sandra Bland's mother. And let me say this. I saw an interview with Sandra Bland's mother and Hillary Clinton. And Sandra Bland's mother was yucking it up just a little bit too much for me, man. We love Sandra Bland. That was our sister. But sometimes the parents ain't like the children. Sandra Bland, I don't think Sandra Bland would really appreciate her mom yucking it up with Hillary like that. Sandra was about that life. And I saw Sandra Bland's mom. She was doing a little soft shoe tap dancing around Hillary for me. It was a little too much soft shoeing for me. If we're going to be 100% honest, family. So we got to collectively peep game so people don't keep running that bullshit on us. Because like John Henry Clark say, we ain't got no friends, man. You know, we got these white supremacists running around supporting Trump, even the so-called liberal whites. We got to watch out for them because they might be suspected white supremacists. They might be your best bud smiling in your face, the super cool dude. But then you just sit back and let them do their thing, and then they'll start showing traces of white supremacy, like that dude Neve from the show Catfish. He did some little suspected white supremacist bullshit. The other day when Black Girls Rock was on TV, he sent out a tweet, and you know, with white supremacists, it's almost their duty to make little jokes and wisecracks about black folks. That's part of white supremacist culture. So this Neve guy put out a tweet talking about, yeah, Black Girls Rock, but they also catfish a lot. I'm just saying. Like, fuck you, Neve. Yeah, nigga, yeah, fuck you, dude. You know, let the sisters get shine. They don't need no little snarky, slick mouth, bitch made ass dude like you making your little comments. Let sisters shine, dude. And this is what you sisters, y'all, are y'all bedwinches out here? Y'all bed wenches always caping for white daddy. This is what white daddy think about you, by the way. That's what white daddy be saying about you. Sometimes they get a little open with the way they feel about you. But we got to watch these people who we think are cool. And you know, another person, speaking of that, another person I got an issue with, family, is Amber Rose's ass. I got a problem with Amber Rose. Now, Amber Rose, you know, she seemed cool enough. You know, for those who don't know, Amber Rose, she's basically like this urban model now. She got in the game by being down with Kanye. Then she got married to Wiz Khalifa, had a baby by him. So, you know, she's, you know, kind of building her own brand. So Amber Rose, you know, she's known and she's been propped up by black society. That's how really she got her weight up. She's been propped up by black society. You know, she's known for twerking on Instagram, twerking, popping ass. She used to be a stripper and all that. And then she started to align herself with some of these white feminist groups. So now she's this feminist and she has shit like the slut walk and all this stuff. And she came out with some emojis, something called mother emoji, some shit, a bunch of emojis, and it's been pretty successful. But there was something that she did that we gotta watch, something that raised my antennas. And you gotta watch it. She put out, one of her emojis was a picture of Bill Cosby. It's a cartoon of Bill Cosby with a sign that says, "I did it." I'm like, hold up, wait a minute. Now, I don't know about that. Now that's, because now she's using those white feminist tactics. You don't need to bring that shit around us, because we have a hard time enough being criminalized by the white supremacists. We don't need no double agent type of niggas in here. She did an interview with Keisha Knight Pulliam, the Rudy Huxtable who used to be on the Cosby Show. Now, Amber Rose did this interview with Keisha Pulliam. I think I'm pronouncing Keisha's last name right. And let me play a clip of that interview, because Amber Rose mentioned Bill Cosby, and she was like, yeah, Bill Cosby, people defend Bill Cosby, and the over 50 women said he raped me. And then Keisha kind of checked her on that, like, hey, you know, no, don't do that now, because, you know, I know Cosby, he ain't like that. So let me play this.
Something a man can do, we can do. And sometimes, you know, I get very frustrated when I see guys call girls hoes, or, you know, when people, like, just stick up for Bill Cosby, like, 52 women are just
Let me
lying.
Just say this real quick, because, you know, I feel you, and everyone's entitled to their opinion, but,
yeah.
You know, we still live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty. And I understand everything that's happened, and me being a feminist and believing, you know, women, no means no, and I get that. Mm-hmm. But just so you know, I did work with him for a really long time. I love him dearly still, and that isn't the man that I know. That's, and another thing is
I totally get it. 100%. And you know, we're going to have our own opinions about that. And we don't even have to get into that. That's fine. My whole thing is you know.
Okay.
I feel like.
Come on.
Celebrity and classism and double standards.
What the fuck is she?
All take apart.
What is she talking about? What the fuck is she talking about? Just pop your pussy open, dude. What is she talking about? See, this is that bullshit. Now she's just using those little white feminist code words that the white feminist then gave her. She's using those little buzzwords. She don't know what she's talking about. The minute somebody throws her a curveball, she starts going off script, and now she don't know what to say. And I'm glad Keisha checked her on that. Now, well, I think feminism, colorism, class, you don't know what to goddamn say. All her talking points, they're given to her. That's why she don't know. The minute she goes off script and nobody's kissing her ass, because that's the thing. Amber's used to black people kissing her ass. Because black people, we got a habit of people who come in looking damn near white. When they come in, black people have a way of kind of worshiping them to a certain degree. So she's used to black people kissing her ass, black men and black women. So the minute somebody challenges her on something, she don't know what to say.
And, you know, in society and how we treat people. So, and it's not really just feminism. It's really just all of the above.
Mm-hmm. So I have a quick question for you. How did you come up with your slut walk?
Okay, that's it. Let me put my Mac and music on for a minute. And this is my thing with people like Amber Rose. Because, see, Amber Rose has been propped up by black society. Amber Rose has been propped up by black society. And when you are given those white supremacist feminist talking points as your script, and then you're bringing that around us, my antennas go up. You see, she's been given a script. You understand that? That's why she don't know how to think for her goddamn self. You throw her a curveball, she get to stuttering. So these white supremacist feminists, they've given this woman some type of script. So white supremacy, they won't accept her. That's why she comes into black society. Because Amber Rose is not white. Let's be very clear. And I think she attains to be white, but she's not white. White supremacy, they don't accept people like Amber Rose. They're really hard on those tragic mulattoes, because they know if they slip some of those Negro genes up in here, that's a problem. So we really gotta be on their ass. But we can use the tragic mulatto negress to get some of our bidding done when we deal with the other Negroes. Somebody said Amber Rose is Italian and Portuguese. Amber Rose's mother, Dorothy Rose, is my color. Okay, let's get it straight. I've seen pictures of Amber Rose's mother. Her mother is my color. Mother's dark as me. Let's be very clear. But the thing is, Amber Rose is not white. Hold on, this damn, hold on, all this shit going on. But let's be clear. Say, somebody says she can pass for white. No, she can't. No, she can't. Amber Rose can't pass for white. White people know she ain't white. White people know Amber Rose ain't white. Amber Rose is not white, and white people know it. They're very, y'all don't understand how a lot of so-called biracial people, the white supremacists, and Dr. Welsing broke this down, they're harder on them because they really don't want you sneaking that nigga shit up in their community. They're real hard on the mulatto niggas. But the thing is, Amber Rose does not identify with blackness, though. Amber Rose does not identify with blackness. She said, and I'm going to play an interview of her. This is her denying that she's black. She said in implicitly that she's not black. Listen, this is Amber Rose doing an interview, I think, on Hot 97.
Do you feel like people consider you, I mean, if you really look at Amber Rose as an individual, you are clearly like a mixed race person, right?
Right.
However, I think culturally in America, you're considered black. Do you think that's how people perceive you? And is that how you perceive yourself?
I do not consider myself a black woman. Absolutely not.
What do you consider yourself?
Biracial.
As much one thing as the other.
Yeah, I mean, my dad is half Irish, half Italian. I do the Italian festivals. I grew up eating very Italian food. I celebrate St. Patty's Day.
Okay. There you go. She said, I am definitely not a black woman. Now, in white society, they look at you as that. Let's be very clear. She said, I am definitely not a black woman. But when she comes around black folks, we're the ones who prop her up. White society did not prop this woman up. She's getting all of her momentum and her branding done by us, and we're elevating her. And the thing is, you got to watch people like that, because you prop people like that up and get them mainstream acceptance, and they'll use that mainstream acceptance to start dumping on us. That's my problem. When I hear shit like that, when I see people like that, and when she did that whole little Bill Cosby thing, that raises too many flags with me. Now, when people say, well, I'm biracial, that means I don't want to be black. Ain't no such thing as a fucking biracial person. Ain't no such thing. Because if you are not white, you ain't white. Ain't no such thing as half white. You dig? Not in the system of white supremacy. See, you got people like this who start slumming with black society because they can't get accepted in white society. See, that's the thing. White society's trash becomes black society's royalty. Google her mother. Google Dorothy Rose. Her mother is my color. Let's just be very clear. Her mother is not white. They try to say Cape Verdean. Cape Verdean is off the coast of fucking Africa. What do you think lives on Cape Verde? Cape Verde is an island full of fucking Negroes. They try to say, what's the Portuguese? People always want to latch on to the oppressor class. Cape Verde is off the coast of Africa. That shit is an island full of Negroes. But understand this, family. As melanoid people, when we get up out of the bed every day, everything we do has to be about empowering us. What are we going to do to empower other melanoid people? What are we going to do to empower other black people? That's the way we should think. So when other groups come in who don't identify with us, but they're bringing all their shit to us, we always should look at that with a suspicious eye. So what are you coming around talking about any activism for? What are you going to do for us as a group? And you say you don't identify with us, meaning you just denied your blackness. You denied your Africanness. Because she'll claim every goddamn continent but Africa. Portuguese and Italian and Cape Verdean. I don't know too much about Cape Verde, but I'm Cape Verdean. Cape Verdean is not some kind of exotic island. It's an island full of Negroes. Stop. Her mom ain't no damn Spanish, dude. People in the chat room. Mom looks Spanish. That's a Negro. You go to Italy, they ain't claiming no Amber Rose. You go to Ireland, they ain't claiming no Amber Rose. Come on, let's keep this shit 100. And my thing is this, again. When you come around black folks, see, people come around us, these people who don't identify with us, they come around us with the slut shit, popping ass, opening your pussy, twerking your butt cheeks all over the place. But then when you get around the white people, then you start crying, giving little testimonies. I don't want to be called a slut. I'm a victim of Kanye. I feel so. Then you get around the white people. You ain't popping pussy around white people. You ain't busting open your ass cheeks in front of white people. You cry and play the victim in front of white people, but then get around us and your ass is open. So we gotta understand, just because people around us popping pussy, don't let that be a distraction. My antennas are up with old girl. Now, I don't, if you want to pop pussy, I don't knock anybody for popping pussy. If you want to be a slut, slut it up. You want to be a hoe, hoe it up. I ain't got no problem with that. I'm not the pussy police. But I do want to be the empowerment police, because I want to know if you coming around black folks, either you're going to empower or you're going to sabotage. And she has already said, I ain't black. Definitely not. But you come around us and we prop you up. And then what you do, you are activists for the white supremacists coming in here talking that Cosby shit. Well, Cosby is 50 women who say, well, stop it. Because we got a lot of issues, black women, who you really emulate. People who prop you up. They got a lot of other issues out here. We got some real shit issues out here, like our sisters like Sandra Bland. See, the thing is, after the slut walk, and you do the little slut walk, and you talk about your pussy and all that stuff. See, you go back to biracial land, wherever that is. But these sisters have to go back home where you have race soldiers out here targeting them. So I want to get information to them that's going to empower and protect them from a system that is terrorizing them. And we don't need you coming in here who don't identify with none of us, criminalizing another black person. I got a real problem with that. Well, Bill Cosby is a bunch of women said it. 50 people said it. Well, hell, millions of us say there's white supremacy, but our words get ignored. You know what white supremacy is, don't you, Amber? That's what you attain to be. That's what you attain to be, Amber, but they won't let you, so you come slumming with us. We don't get to go to little never, never biracial land with you at the end of the day. We got to deal with white supremacy after you done wipe your pussy up and put your clothes back on. We still got to deal with white supremacy. So be careful about all these other people coming around us with bullshit, especially the sisters. I had a real problem with that. Don't come, I ain't with that slumming shit, especially if you don't identify with us. If you don't identify with us, we're going to pop your pussy and go home. Don't try to fight through your thoughts. You can't even articulate your goddamn self. So we don't, just pop your pussy. Oh, good. You pop pussy, goodbye. Thank you. Let me get this call. What's up? Who's calling? Okay, this nigga hung up. Now, speaking of cooning, by the way, speaking of cooning, Ray Lewis. Ray damn Lewis. I'm going to get on him in a second. Let me see, who is this person? This person keeps calling. Hopefully there ain't no bullshit. Hold on. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up, Simon?
Okay, it's that moist nigga. It's that goofy moist nigga that I clowned a few weeks ago. This nigga is still butthurt and salty. This nigga calls my show. Even when I ain't on, the nigga calls up. This little moist bitch nigga that I clowned damn near a month ago. this nigga still salty because I embarrassed his ass live on air, and this nigga will not let go. Nigga, untuck your balls and go to bed. Speaking of moisture, and this is another thing, we got to stop letting these groups get us to do their fighting for them. And I talked about this on, that Homotep Thug. That's the Homotep Thug. I talked about this on my Facebook, how I think down in Mississippi is in one of those places where they wouldn't pass, they passed some kind of law that wouldn't allow gay couples to go into some kind of public place. It was some kind of law. I think it was in Mississippi. They just passed some kind of law that won't allow gay couples somewhere, something like that. And I let people know, I'm like, okay, do not let people in the gay community come running to us trying to get us to fight their battles for them. Because whenever a law is directed towards them negatively, they run and get us. They go get a bunch of gay black people and prop them up and say, hey, look, he's black, and discriminating against him is like discriminating against us for our gay. You know, it's that type of shit. They run that con game in the gay community. And I'm speaking specifically of the white gay community. They never help us. As a whole, as a collective, the white gay community, they don't do shit for black society. And we always try to represent them and prop them up. And they, some of them are just as racist as the other white supremacists. Y'all remember, what's that dude's name? That gay ball player, Michael Sam, is the first openly gay player to be drafted into the football league. Now they propped him up and had him as the spokesperson for gay society. Now he just did an interview talking about how racist the gay community is, which is something that I've been telling people for years. He's going on and on about, hey, damn, you know, they put me out there like that. But truth be told, there's a lot of racism in the white gay community. And I've been telling y'all that. Now he's salty because he's been used and they done kicked his ass to the curb. Yeah, Michael Sam, he's a little salty now because niggas then got used. He didn't peep game. They came putting their arm around him, telling him how brave he was. They used his ass, and now they done kicked him to the curb, and now he wants to speak out against the racism. Dude, some of these gay and lesbian white people are some of the biggest white supremacists you ever want to see, dude. They ain't no different. They are no different from any other white supremacist. So it kills me when they try to use that argument, well, discriminating against gay people is like discriminating against black people. Bullshit. We ain't got no closet to go to. You can choose to let people know what your get down is. We don't. We do not have that choice. That's why I tell people, don't let folks run that game that black people are the most homophobic. Bullshit. It's people in the dominant society that are homophobic. They don't like other gay white people. They're marginalized. But still, even the marginalized white people know that they're white, and they know that they can fall back on white supremacy. Black people, we do not create laws disenfranchising anybody. Miss me with that black people are the most homophobic. Bullshit. We do not create laws harming people. We don't, never have, never did, not at all. We don't do that. We ain't stopping nobody from getting married because they're gay. We ain't doing that. Stop telling that goddamn lie on black society. We got to stop being used, and this nigga Ray Lewis is being used. Ray Lewis he's gone on another rant before, but this is his thing now. Ray Lewis is going on these rants, and he's getting pats on the head by white society. He goes on these anti-black rants. This, what it is basically him cooning, but he's disguising his cooning as some type of tough love motivation for black society. And it's nothing but cooning. It's just cooning, nigga. That's all it is. We're peeping game. And white supremacist suspects, They give him props. His little videos go viral with a bunch of white supremacist suspects telling him, oh, yes, you're so smart, Ray. Oh, you're so, yes, Ray, hooray for you for telling the truth, Ray. Let me tell y'all something. If y'all see a Ray Lewis post anywhere and there's a bunch of white commenters on there, every last one of them are suspected white supremacists. Understand that. That's how you judge and see who the white supremacists are. If you see a person co-signing Ray Lewis rant about black people, that person is a suspected white supremacist. So just understand that. Because that's what they'll do. They'll get a Negro and prop him up and have him say all the negative things about black society. And I'm going to play this clip of him talking about Black Lives Matter. And he's trying to sound like Martin Luther King, and he's trying to sound like a preacher. And he's one of these niggas, you will not say anything negative or bad about white supremacy. He sounds like he's trying to audition for Fox News. It ain't tough love. And from what I understand, he ain't really done no hellified shit for the people in Baltimore all the years he's been there, from what the people in Baltimore told me. I remember during the whole Freddie Gray thing, he was out there, he got on there, all this riding y'all doing is wrong. All that old stupid shit. But this is him, his Negro rant right here. I ain't going to play all of it, but here's some of it.
I found myself back in my prayer room. I find my spirit very disturbed. While everybody's preparing for the Final Four in March Madness, things that's ran in the newspapers.
Why is this nigga trying to sound like Martin Luther King, man? He's trying to sound soulful. You sound crazy, dude. And I want y'all to let Ray listen to me, because ain't nobody telling him. Ray, you sound crazy.
Have disturbed me. I'm trying to figure out if black lives really matter. Then in Chicago alone, the murder rate is soared.
When a nigga starts talking about Chicago and using that as a talking point, he's a coon. All right, just understand that. That played out, well, Chicago, all the crime in Chicago. You sound like a plantation buck. This nigga sounds like a plantation, all the crime in Chicago. The voice trembling like he just got through picking cotton. We're not responsible for some dusty nigga who's pulling a gun in Chicago. Black people, stop letting people shame you into making you responsible for some dumb nigga in Chicago who's doing some stupid shit 3,000 miles away. Because if I'm responsible for a nigga in Chicago, then every white person is responsible for all the white supremacists then. That's the deal. If I'm responsible for a dusty nigga in Chicago, then you are responsible for every white supremacist for the last 500 years all over the world.
72% in 2016. 88% in the first 3 months of 2016 compared to last year. I'm trying to ask the question if to the organization of black lives, if they really mattered, then why not riot now? There was 141 murders this year, 82 murders last year at the same time. I'm trying to figure out in my mind why no one is paying attention to black men killing black men.
He sounds like a white supremacist. Everybody, you talk about black crime every damn day. Everybody talks about black crime every day. How come ain't nobody paying attention? People are paying attention. Nobody like black crime. But we ain't responsible for dusty niggas who do black crime. We ain't responsible for them. Some dusty nigga pulling a gun. What does he have to do with me or you or my listeners? Nothing. We complain about a cop because a cop is supposed to uphold the damn Constitution. You are hired to uphold our constitutional rights, stupid nigga. So yeah, we should say something about a damn cop. The fact that you're comparing some dusty nigga with a gun to a cop who's hired to uphold the Constitution and our rights shows the kind of buck dancing slave you are, nigga.
Why we always find ourselves as the victims. And now we have the separation once again that we're being victimized because of one bad white cop, two bad white cops.
Stop, nigga. You see how he's doing? It's just one bad cop. And it ain't one bad cop. It ain't two bad cops. Nigga, it's a whole system of white supremacy. That's the problem. It ain't one bad. It's a system. Prosecutors, jurors, people sending donations to these race soldiers. It's a system of white supremacy, nigga. It ain't one bad cop and a two bad cop. Coon.
Three bad white cops kill a young black brother. But every day, we have black on black crime killing each other. Police in Chicago reported 677 shootings this year. Last year, it was 359. March murder rate rose by 29%. But we're not riding in the streets when black on black crime are killing each other.
Because, I'm trying to figure out how... When black on black crime happen, those niggas go to jail. It ain't no prosecutor that's helping them and protecting them, Ray Lewis. When a black nigga kills another black nigga, it ain't nobody sending donations. When a black person kills another black person, it ain't nobody out here letting them walk away free.
How the month of March, there's more murders in the month of March in Chicago than there are days in the month. 45 murders in the month of Chicago. There was 271 shooting incidents. I'm trying to stop to ask this one simple thing. When will we appreciate who we are?
Well, Ray Lewis, were you saying the same shit when your black ass was on trial for murder? Huh? When the white folks was calling you a big old coon ass violent nigga and black folks rallied around your big dumb cooning ass right now. Were you acting the same way? What about all them kids you got out of wedlock? Do they lives matter?
When will our skin color start paying attention to our own skin color? When will we stop crying that black lives matter? Because God says, I am Alpha and Omega. I am creator of all. And all come up under me with my spirit, which means color means nothing. I am king. I will live as king. But we have found our way distracted. We found our way distracted because things we're not paying attention to. The murders in 2015 and 2016, just the comparisons to Chicago, should be sad enough. 2015, there was 34 murders.
Now, he's about to say something real coonish right here. Y'all wait. He's about to say something real coonish.
2016, there was 45. From January 1st to March 31st, there was 82 murders. In 2015, there was 141 in 2016. Let's just talk about the shootings. The shootings in 2015, there was 179. 2016, there was 271. January 1st.
He's using those white supremacist tactics. Okay, there's black people who shot each other, white people who shot each other. Why am I responsible for the black people who shot them, who shot each other? But the white people are not responsible for the white people who shot each other at the damn same rate. There were dozens of mass shootings by white people killing other white people. Nobody's getting told that they're responsible for that. They're getting told that these were lone wolves. And the shit happens damn near every week, but they're lone wolves. But I'm responsible for some bum crackhead nigga shooting somebody? No.
To March 31st, the shootings alone, 2015, there was 359. 2016, there was 677. The shooting victims in 2015, it was 204. In 2016, it's 319. From January 1st to March 31st, it was 411 in 2015. There's 677 murders in 2016. And I'm trying to ask, what's the problem?
Nigga, the problem is we live in a capitalistic society where people kill each other. In all races, nigga. That's going to happen in a capitalistic society. Different people are going to kill each other within their groups. But we
somehow are being told we're responsible and that justifies the damn cop shooting a motherfucker in the back? The fuck is she talking about?
I was asked if I was an elected official, what would I do to stop some of this violence? I would put barrels on each corner and I would give you 30 days to drop all illegal weapons in these barrels. And if you found yourself going outside of that, the moment I found you with them, that's 25 years mandatory. There's no more having conversations, because what's starting to happen now is we're starting to confuse our kids. Our kids don't know which way to walk the streets. We got babies in Baltimore being shot in the middle of the streets. They're on the front porch and they're being shot. We got a family of 5 to 6 sitting in the backyard having a barbecue, and the whole entire family gets executed. But we keep screaming, Black Lives Matter. If they really matter, then let's do ourselves a favor. Let's stop killing black folks. Let's take it way back to when we once was understood what slavery was all about. Uh-oh. Slavery was about togetherness, and understand that we must overcome together.
Did this nigga just say slavery was about togetherness? Is this nigga on the pipe? This nigga just said slavery was about togetherness. What the fuck is you talking about? What is, does he have any kind of history of drug use or something? What is he talking about? Slavery was about togetherness. Has he lost his goddamn mind?
Slavery was about togetherness, and understand that we must overcome together. Not that we must separate ourselves to highlight our skin color. If you want to highlight our skin color, highlight the people that's doing the successful things in the communities that we should be highlighting. And it ain't all athletics. Athletics come a dime a dozen, but the impact of your journey and the things that we're supposed to be doing, you're supposed to be leaving an impact to change people's lives. One day God won't ask how many Super Bowls I've won, how many tackles I made, or how many interceptions I have. He will ask the simple question, how many lives have I changed?
Well, how many lives have you changed, Ray? Because people in Baltimore, I talk to people in Baltimore. Where are my Baltimore people? I know a lot of Baltimore people in the room right now. What businesses has he created for other black people? Because from what I understand, nothing. And maybe I'm wrong. Has he created any businesses for the black people in Baltimore? Because I don't know if he did or not. Hopefully he did. Hopefully he did. I could be wrong. He could have a whole plethora of buildings out there. But I've heard several people say, oh, this nigga done drove around in Rolls Royces and Bentleys and all that shit and ain't done shit. But he want to preach and tell you what you need to do. And Black Lives Matter. It don't matter. Don't talk about your skin. Stop, man. Stop disguising your cooning, dude. Dude, stop disguising your cooning as some type of motivation. I done changed lives. How you change lives, dude? By going into a slave rant? This is my problem, Ray. Because collectively, we can peep game. You know what the definition of cooning is? Cooning is when a person who, for their own personal benefit, will give white supremacists justification for harming black people collectively. That's the basic definition of what a coon is. And what you're doing, Ray, is taking responsibility away from the white supremacists for creating a system of white supremacy deprivation. And they've created the system that has people committing crime and shooting and killing, because all of that is because of economic deprivation caused by the white supremacists, Ray. It ain't one or two white cops. It's a whole system of deprivation that create the whole damn system of violence. So when you take responsibility from them, that's why they're propping you up, Ray. They're not patting you on the head, Ray, because you saying some real deep shit. I think Ray thinks he's saying some real deep shit because the white supremacists are telling you, you go, Ray. Yeah. Well said, Ray. So they're egging this nigga on. He don't know that they're playing him. Ray, You don't understand that the white supremacists are hustling you to get you to say the shit they can't say. That's why they'll put your shit on their page so they can use that as a code among each other to find out where the white supremacists are and how they can join up with each other to work against black people as a whole. Doing little shit like that is very dangerous, Ray. And you're doing it for your own benefit. You ain't doing it because you want to help the youth and do something. Stop, dude. You're trying to get plantation points, my dude. Because Bill Cosby was talking that same shit you were talking. And y'all niggas ain't learned that yet. Bill Cosby was talking the same shit. And look what happened to him. And Ray, you should know better. Dude, they were about to throw you under the bus for those murders. That murder, I don't know if it's two murders, whatever. That murder that happened back in 2000. They're about to throw you under the bus. Ray, don't play yourself with that talk, dude. Because what happens is, Ray, you're going to learn the hard way. You do all that plantation bucking. And then when the white supremacists turn on you, because they will turn on you just like they did Cosby. Then you'll be looking back at black society. Who won't you help me? Can y'all gather right? No, nigga. No. Don't come back now. Just like Bill Cosby is over here looking at the black community. And we're looking back at him like, okay, Bill, I ain't trying to throw you under the bus, but damn, Bill, you see people like Amber Rose going at you now, Bill. You got strippers with their coochie open going at you now, Bill. So I'm saying this to Ray in a constructive manner. Ray, don't let them use you, family. Don't let them run that game on you, fam. Got you talking all of their talking points and they're propping you up. This is tough love I'm giving you right now, Ray. This is tough love. Because my man Jim Brown loves you. I was chopping it up with Jim Brown. Jim Brown has a lot of respect. That's why I ain't really go in on Ray and clown him. Because I was chopping it up with Jim Brown. Jim Brown has a lot of love for you. I don't know why, but Jim speaks very highly of you, and I love Jim Brown, and I got the utmost respect for him. But, brother, you don't want to go there, though. That somebody said it's too late, whatever. But Ray needs to hear this, because Ray talks all that Sambo talk, then they'll turn on him real quick and make an example out of him after you done all that buck dancing and alienated yourself from your community, brother. And if you really want to do something, Ray, get off the fucking internet and build something for Baltimore. Build some businesses for them. Stop all that bullshit. When I went to Chicago, stop with that. Well, you ain't nobody protesting. Ain't nobody saying nothing. But, brother, there's so many people out there in Chicago. You have groups like the Interrupters. You got so many groups out there in Chicago that's doing good things trying to thwart what's happening. We still got to deal with white supremacy. The brothers over at Culture Connection out there in Chicago. These brothers out there in the community doing great things, man. I've been out there with the community of Chicago coming up with solutions on what people can do. Miss me with that shit that we don't do nothing. Bullshit. I personally been out there. I have personally given money to schools out there to educate our children. Miss me with your bullshit, dude. I'm not out here, won't y'all stop all that killing? I'm not out there plucking my banjo. We go out there and we do the work. Why don't you do the same? Put your banjo down and build something for those brothers and sisters out there so that they have another option, because the problem is economic deprivation. Stop talking that slave talk. Oh, slavery about togetherness. What the fuck are you talking about, man? Is this nigga on that narcotic? Slavery wasn't about no togetherness. That shit was about exploitation, dude. Good Lord, what's wrong with these niggas, man? That's why we got the Coon Train Awards happening this Saturday, man. Coon Train Award this Saturday. If you're in LA, come on down. I still need a damn DJ. Where my LA people at who DJ? I've had niggas hit me up from Carolinas, all over the place. No, I don't want nobody from another city. I'm not about to fly you into this motherfucker. I need an LA person who DJs. I need a DJ at the Coon Train Award. Just in between sets. You ain't got to be Kid Capri or no shit, but we do need a DJ. Email me at, what's my email? kflex4life, and that's the number 4. kflex4life@yahoo.com. That's my email.
right, y'all, let me get up out of here, fam. Y'all hit me up on, what's my Instagram? Instagram at Tariq Elite, T-A-R-I-Q-E-L-I-T-E. That is my Instagram, family. And follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. The More Us app is coming soon. Get ready for that, family. And go to moreus.com to support that. M-O-O-R-U-S.com. I'ma holla.